presenting Dick Pohl and his thrilling adventures at Far Military Academy.
We'll always be near to far. We'll praise her wherever we are. We'll cheer her each day with a hip hip hooray. It's a rule there's no school like far. We'll sing out our loyalty. We'll ring out with voices free. As we travel through life, we will follow our star. We'll always be near to far.
Boys and girls, today we bring you another exciting episode in the adventures of Dick Pohl at Far Military Academy. You followed Dick's adventures in Blue Bolt Magazine and in Foremost Comics. And now you can follow them every week at this time over this same station on the air. In just a moment, you'll hear from Dick Pohl himself. But first, here's an interesting message for each and every one of you. Now, here's Dick Pohl.
Hello there. I hope you boys and girls don't mind if I sound kind of excited. But I've just been through an experience. Well, one of the closest calls I've ever had. I didn't realize it while things were happening. But I was an innocent victim of some very clever trickery. You see, I was sitting in my room studying late one afternoon after basketball practice. There was a knock on my door. It was Ted Green, the captain of the Corps of Cadets at Far Academy. Ted is a first classman, and I always thought he was one of the nicest fellows at the school. Good afternoon, sir.
How's your work, Cole?
Okay. Thanks, Ted. Social visit?
Social visit. I wanted to drop in at basketball practice this afternoon, but I got tied up in a drill session with that plebe company. How's the old shooting eye?
Well, I'm sharpening up some. My long shots are starting to drop in the basket now.
Attaboy. You know, we're counting on you to ring up a lot of points for Far this season.
Thanks, Ted. Oh, I wish you were in there playing again.
Well, I'd like to be, Dick. But this job of being cadet captain takes up all your time. As you'll find out when you're captain.
When I am?
You bet. Of course, Major Far decides these things, but he always listens to the outgoing captain's recommendations. And this spring, before graduation, I'm going to recommend that you get the job next year. There's nobody I'd rather see get.
Well, say, that's darn swell of you.
Well, you deserve it. Shake, pal.
You've been pretty darn nice to me ever since I came into Far as a green plebe, Ted.
Now listen, fella, when you find yourself swamped with a million details every day, you won't sound so pleased.
If Major Far decides to give me the job... But that's still a long way off yet.
And in the meantime, there are a few basketball games to win, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm...
Say, Dick, I... Oh, hello, Ted.
Hello, Simba. Why so out of breath?
Well, I just came from Major Farr's office.
Aha! Uh-huh. One of the instructors caught you eating a candy bar in class again, huh?
No, Dick. The Major was looking for you.
The Major wants to see me?
Mm-hmm. And it's serious, Dick. I don't know what it's all about, but Major Farr looked pretty upset. And he said he wanted you to report to his office at once.
Oh, golly. Do you happen to know anything about it, Ted?
No, Dick, not a thing.
Well, I suppose the best way for me to find out is to go over to the Major's office in a hurry. You wanted to see me, Major Farr?
Yes, I did, Cole. Sit down.
Thank you, sir.
Now, Dick, this may seem like a strange question, but have you been engaging in any activities outside of our usual routines lately?
Well, no, sir. What kind of activities do you mean, Major?
Well, have you been seeing any strangers of late? Anyone not connected with the school, let's say?
Strangers? Oh, no, sir. Not that I know of.
And you've been doing nothing in the past week that you don't always do? Your Tuesday schedule, for instance, has it been the same as every other Tuesday schedule?
Yes, sir. It sure has.
I see. Thank you, Cole. All right, Mr. Jones. Come out from behind the screen, if you will.
Not too comfortable back in that corner, Major.
Well, I told you, Jones. Your ideas regarding Cole were all wrong. Mr. Jones, this is Cadet Cole.
How do you do, sir?
Hello there, Cole. You're satisfied, then, Major Farr, that this boy is completely all right?
I certainly am.
Well, I'm not.
I'm afraid I don't know what this is all about, sir.
Oh, you don't, eh? I suppose that you deny knowing a certain unsavory group, a gang that isn't above making some paper money from time to time.
Counterfeiters?
Yes, Dick. A gang of counterfeiters.
But, sir, that's...
That's all right, Dick. I know there's been a mix-up somewhere, and I've told Mr. Jones as much. I'll bank on you.
I don't like to accuse anyone without sure proof, Major. But I must say that Cole... Well, Cole, the way things look to us, that is, to me and the people associated with me, you're connected in some way with a very notorious gang of counterfeiters that has been making things tough in this part of the country. Now, if you have been tied up with them, I advise you to confess right now. It'll be a lot easier on you in the long run.
But this is... Mr. Jones, I give you my word that I don't know a thing about any counterfeiters. Not a single thing.
I believe you if you explain one thing to my satisfaction, Cole.
Why, of course, sir.
Where were you Sunday afternoon?
Sunday afternoon? Oh, golly. Let me think.
Now, I want to know every single thing you did on Sunday. Of course, you understand you needn't answer anything that might be incriminating.
Oh, I haven't done anything incriminating. I'm just trying to remember what I did.
Well, don't leave anything out now, I warn you. It'll be hard on you if you skip anything at all.
Yes, sir. I got a lift into town after we had chapel and lunch. Simba Carno, he's my roommate. He wanted me to go for a drive with him and with his parents. But I had a date in town.
So?
With Laura. She's the athletic director's daughter.
Oh.
So Simba's folks gave me a lift into town, and I met Laura. We went to a movie, and then we had a soda. That's right. We had a soda at Bergmeyer's bookstore in town.
Which do you really like better, Dick? Chocolate or coffee ice cream?
Well, I'm not sure, Laura. But I'm afraid that I'm too full to even try to find out.
So am I. I guess we'll have to let the coffee, ice cream, soda wait until we come in again.
Yeah, I'll say. In fact, you'd better not tell your dad that I had even a chocolate one today. He'll say I'm breaking training.
Oh, he'll do no such thing.
Sure, I know. I was kidding, Laura. Well, you want to walk the back out to school?
Gee, I'd like to, Dick, but I'm afraid that I can't.
Oh, gee, that's too bad.
Mother and Daddy are going to meet me in front of the Prentice house at 5:15. We have to go out to my aunt.
Uh-oh. It's almost 5:15 now.
Ollie, I guess I'd better hurry then.
I'll go as far as the door with you.
Okay. Would you like to come with us, Dick? Oh, I'm sure Mother and Daddy would love to have you.
Oh, thanks, Laura, but I've got some studying to do back at school. I think I will walk out to school, though.
Oh, all right, then. Thanks for the movie and the soda, Dick. I'll be seeing you.
You bet. So long, Laura. Oh, boy, this is a nice night. I think maybe I'll just amble along. Huh. Here comes a FAR uniform down the road. It's getting dark. Can't see who it is. All I can make out is a lot of gold braid. Must be a cadet officer. Hi there.
Who is it? What's that?
Well, Ted. Ted Green. Out for a walk, huh?
Oh. Hello there, Dick.
Oh, it's a swell night, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fine, fine.
Are you heading into town?
Yes, I suppose you might say I am. As a matter of fact, I am on my way into town for a while. I've got a date. Yeah, I've got a date.
And that's about all that happened, Mr. Jones. After I bumped into Ted Green, I came on back to school.
Then there's roughly an hour of your day that isn't completely accounted for, eh, Cole?
Well, I think we'll have the answer on that in a moment, Mr. Jones. While Cole was telling us his story, I sent for Ted Green. He'll be here in a moment. And as soon as he corroborates Cole's story, that will be that.
Well, it'll help. Though how Cole had those counterfeit $1 bills in his possession...
Counterfeit bills? Did you say I had some counterfeit bills in my possession?
You certainly did, boy. You left a trail of them. And all in the past 48 hours. All of them since you left the girl, Laura, on Sunday afternoon and started to walk back to school.
You see, you paid for several items at the school store with counterfeit money, Dick.
Golly.
Yes, and you paid your dues at the Athletic Association with the fake bills, too. Now, I've tried to explain to Mr. Jones that you undoubtedly didn't know that they were counterfeit.
I certainly didn't, sir. Gee, counterfeit money. And I had it. I was carrying it around. I'd sure like to know how I got it.
Yes. So would we.
Cadet Captain Green reporting, sir. You sent for me, Major Farr?
Oh, yes, yes, Ted, I did. I want you to tell us something. Something quite simple.
Yes, sir?
Did you see Cadet Cole on Sunday afternoon? Late in the afternoon? Did you pass each other on the road to town?
No, sir, I didn't see him.
Oh, sure, Ted. Don't you remember? It was about 5:30 or so, and you were walking into town for a date or something. I was on my way back to school,
then. I tell you, I didn't see you, Dick. And that's that. I didn't see you on Sunday afternoon.
Well, Cole, there goes your alibi. Just as I suspected. It was during the time you claimed to have seen Green here that you met the counterfeiters.
No, sir.
I'm sorry, Cole, but I'm afraid I don't have much choice in this matter. You've told us a story that doesn't stand up, and you're under grave suspicion. I'll give you just 24 hours, Cole. 24 hours in which you will have to establish proof of your innocence. If you cannot provide it, you will have to take the consequences.
We'll be back with Dick Cole in just a moment. But first, here's a message that will interest you. To the adventures of Dick Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Dick. I sure don't understand it.
I don't either, Simba. I don't get it at all.
You mean that Major Farr and this Mr. Jones, or whatever his name is, actually believe you're part of a crooked gang of counterfeiters?
Well, Major Farr doesn't really believe it, but look at the evidence. I passed some fake $1 bills.
You can't prove where you were.
Uh-uh. That's another thing. If only Ted Green had remembered seeing me on the road on Sunday.
Oh, gosh, you'd think he'd remember it all right.
Oh, well, I suppose he had a lot of things on his mind.
Well, what are you going to do, Dick?
I've got to do something, and in a hurry, too, Simba. That's sure. Or I'll be expelled from the academy.
Gee.
Yes, and maybe even get sent to jail.
Well, you'd better try to get some sleep.
No. I'm going out, Simba.
Going out now? Well, what can you do at this time of night? After lights out.
I don't know, but I've got to risk it. I'm going to retrace my footsteps. I'm going to go back over the exact path that I followed out here to school from town. I must find out how I got those phony bills in the first place. I've got a hunch that Mr. Jones wasn't telling me everything that he knew. And maybe, just maybe, I'll find a clue somewhere along the road. I'm just guessing, but it's my only chance. So far, I haven't seen a sign of anything that even looks suspicious. Nothing but this dark road. I guess Simba was right. It was foolish of me to go hiking along so late at night. Maybe I'd better just give up and go back to bed. For what may be my last night at Farr. Golly, if only I... What's that? That light over in that field... blinking on and off. I think I'll take a look. It's the first sign of life I've seen. Say, that light is coming from the second floor of the old Stanton house. Why, that's been deserted for the past 2 years. Now I know I'm on the trail of something, but I'd better take it easy. Boy, what a racket this door makes. I hope whoever is in here didn't hear me. Easy does it. So far, I think I'm okay. Nobody's heard me yet. That room at the end of the corridor. Men talking. If I can hide in the shadows in the hallway, maybe I can hear them.
I keep telling you to shut up. This is no time to lose your nerve.
But Charlie, you might be the brains, but you ain't gonna leave me holding no bag.
Now listen to me, Big Teeth. I explained to you that we can't possibly move the printing presses and plates and that big pile of fresh money we made until tomorrow morning.
Hey, they're the guys. The counterfeiters.
Yeah, but why not, Charlie? You got the car downstairs, and I don't like staying here all night with all this hot, phony money in the presses. Hey, what if the cops come? I don't want to go to the stir.
You big palooka, we can't move the stuff in the car. Somebody could look in the back window and Bluey were all washed up. I told you I'd have a closed truck here early in the morning. We put all the stuff in the truck and away we go.
Yeah, but...
In the meantime, you're to stay here. Get me?
Well, okay, Charlie. I get you, but I don't...
Looks like one of them is going. If I could catch either of them, I'd have the proof for Major Farr and Mr. Jones. I've got to risk getting one of them.
If anybody tries to scare you, Big Teeth, you just flex your muscles at them, you big ox.
Well, hey, how about leaving the gun here with me, Charlie?
Not a chance. You're big enough to take care of yourself. And besides, nothing's going to happen. You just sit tight until morning and I'll be back for you.
Well, make it early in the morning, Charlie, will you? I'm nervous.
I'll be back shortly after dawn. Pleasant dreams, Big Teeth. Don't let the boogeyman scare you.
I'd better wait a few seconds until he's gone. Till I'm sure. Then I'll rush that big guy. I hope I can handle him. He looked plenty big.
What's that? Who's there? Come on out, Joe. I heard somebody.
Uh-oh. Now I'm in for it. Well, here goes.
Come on out or I'll come down and get you.
All right, you big crook. You asked for it.
Oh, a young kid, huh? I'll bust you into little pieces, punk.
Maybe and maybe not. How do you like this? Oh, not talking so big now, huh?
There's two of you guys.
I don't need any help on you, you gorilla.
Yeah. Oh!
Well, I did it. Now I'd better find some rope and tie him up before he comes to. And then I'd better get the police.
All full of plans, aren't you, youngster?
What?
Don't move, hero. I've got you covered with a nice, accurate little gun, and my trigger finger is itchy. Put your hands up in the air and keep them there. That's right.
You? You're the other crook.
Let's be careful of our language. Let's say I'm in the paper and banking business.
You're a counterfeiter.
You talk too much, youngster. I admired the way you slugged poor old Big Teeth. Very neat. But you outsmarted yourself.
Do you think you're going to get away with this?
I've already gotten away with it, my dear lad. I heard you when you came creeping into the house. I planned this whole move exactly as it's worked out. Unfortunately, you heard too much and you know too much. So much as I dislike pumping quantities of lead into the young, I'm afraid I shall have to put several air holes in you.
Why, you...
Don't move, my boy. Very dangerous. Now, first, I shall put some of my newly minted money away for future use. That's it. And I believe I shall leave our unconscious friend, Big Teeth, here with the telltale presses and your body.
The police will get you.
If you have any last words, concern them with your fate, not mine. Say your prayers, youngster.
Drop that gun, Charlie.
Drop
it to the floor, Cole.
Let go of that gun, Charlie. That's it. I want it.
Yes. Nice going, boy.
Boy, you took me by surprise.
Thanks, Mr. Jones. When you called out, he turned for a second, so I grabbed his gun away from him.
Well, he won't need the gun anymore. Will you, Charlie? Up here, Major Farr. We're just in time.
I'll say you were. Another few seconds.
Here, slip your wrists into these convenient steel cuffs, Charlie. That's the boy. Now some for your sleeping beauty friend here. Hey, how did he get this way?
I guess I knocked him out, sir.
What's that? You knocked someone out, Cole?
He did more than that, Major. He's rounded up the counterfeiting gang I've been chasing for months.
You saved me, Mr. Jones.
Oh, nonsense, Cole. You deserve all the credit in the world.
What is this stupid Mr. Jones routine, Matthews?
Well, our young friend Cole knows me as Mr. Jones, but you know better, don't you, Charlie?
Oh.
Dick, let me formally present you to Mr. Matthews of the Secret Service. He asked that you only know him as Mr. Jones.
That's right, Cole. And my deepest apologies for having ever suspected you of being in with these cheap crooks.
I am not a cheap crook.
Well, suppose you tell us a story, Charlie. I've caught you with the goods at last, you know, so you might as well give me the whole works now.
Curious fellow, aren't you?
Now, I suggest you tell us how and why you deliberately involved Dick Cole. Or shall I ask Cole to give you the kind of treatment he gave your clumsy associate?
All right, all right. I had to have an outlet for the counterfeit money here. So I decided that the boys at Far Academy would be the least likely to be suspected. We started with Cole. If we hadn't been caught, we would have spread the money all through the school.
And so you had the fake money planted on Dick. Very clever. But what I want to know is how you ever got the money on his person.
I prefer not to...
Oh? Dick, would you like to give Charlie one of your special massages?
I sure would, sir. After what he tried to do to me.
I hate violence. I'll talk. My nephew is Ted Green.
Huh?
The head of your cadet corps, Major Farr.
Ted Green?
I think a lot of that boy. But I guess I'm not much good. I threatened to disgrace him. He was afraid he'd be thrown out of the school if anybody knew that his uncle was a notorious counterfeiter. And so I made him play along with me.
Gee, poor Ted.
I dare say I've heard all I care to hear right now. We have an open and shut case, Charlie. And Cole, my thanks, and the thanks of the government. We've been chasing Charlie for a long time.
Well, if you don't need us any longer, Mr. Matthews, Cole and I will go back to the academy.
Right you are, Major Farr.
Thank you.
And thank you for your cooperation, sir. Cole, you deserve to know this. When you left the academy tonight, Major Farr and I followed you. I thought you were in league with Charlie here. and that you'd lead us to him.
Well, I guess I did that all right, sir, without knowing it.
Well, you've been very brave, young man. And if there's anything we can ever do for you...
Well, you aren't going to prosecute Ted Green, are you?
Ted didn't do anything except what I made him do.
We know that, Charlie. No, Dick. The government won't prosecute Ted Green. What Major Farr wants to do is up to him.
Well, let's start back to school, eh, Dick?
Yes, sir. Goodbye, Mr. Matthews.
Goodbye, Dick. And thanks to both of you.
Imagine, after all these years, getting trapped by a kid.
All right, Charlie, let's go.
Major Farr.
Yes, Dick?
Sir, I don't know how to say this.
I know what you're going to say, Dick. You want to plead for Ted Green, isn't that it? You want to ask me to keep him in the academy.
Yes, sir. That's right. I'm the only one who suffered at all, and everything has turned out all right now. And...
You deserve something for the way you've handled things, Dick. All right. I will give Ted Green another chance.
Boy, that's pretty swell, sir.
I'd say that you were pretty swell, Dick. A pretty swell friend for Ted Green or any other boy to have.
Dick Cole will be back in a minute, but first, here is an important message for you. Listen in again next week, same time, same station, for another thrilling half hour with Dick Cole at Farr Military Academy. Remember, the adventures of Dick Cole appear regularly in two of your favorite comic magazines, Blue Bolt and Foremost Comics. So, until next week, here's Dick Cole saying...
So long, friends. See you in a week.